Parshas Shlach. Many Mefarshim have dealt with the areas of commonality and also distinctions between the episode of the Meraglim that the Torah records in this week's Parsha, Parsha Shlach, and the one found as well in Sefer Yoshua. Even a cursory glance reveals a great divide between the two incidents. In Parsha Shlach, the Torah describes a mission of 12 Shvatim to reconnoiter the land, to examine its topography, to examine its economic fecundity. Moshe Rabbeinu is told, Shlach lecho anoshim, v'yasur aseretz kenan asher ani nosein livnei Yisrael. Ish echod, the matia b'osav tishlochu kol nasi b'hem. Vayishlach osam Moshe, al pi Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, send these meraglim. And the Torah indicates what exactly the mission was. Urise mesoretz mahi, examine the land, v'yasa'om ayoshev aleha, the people living there, hechazaku arofe hama'atu imrov, economically, is it a place where one can prosper? So that is the mission that the Torah describes in Parsha Shlach. And the Meraglim devote 40 days to this task, and they report on the land's fruitfulness, while simultaneously issuing a kind of disclaimer that Bnei Anokim Ra'inu Shom, it's occupied by giants who are living in impregnable kind of fortresses. Kalev ben Yefune immediately attempts to dispel the kind of pall that they created by a clear pronouncement. Olo nale v'yarashnu oso kiyochol nuchala. Let's ascend, let's inherit. We're capable of vanquishing the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. However, as Chazal have pointed out, the Lashon Hara that was unfortunately and tragically spread and propagated by the majority of the Meraglim was so insidious and so overpowering, they succeeded in generating a groundswell against the entry into Eretz Yisrael. And that led to a querulous and peevish kind of complaint that swelled into a chorus, Nit Narosh v'nashuv mitzrayma. Let's go back to Egypt. And even though Yeshua and Kalev struggled valiantly to stem the cascading tides, the result of this Meraglim debacle was Hashem Yisbarach's directive that, God forbid, Rachmana Litzlan, they're going to die in the Midbar in the course of the 40-year wanderings and peregrinations. When we contrast the story of the Meraglim in Shlach with that which is found in Sefer Yoshua, here, the Navi records that there are two spies are sent clandestinely. Shnei Anoshim was sent cheresh, furtively, under the radar. However, their identity is quickly discovered by the Melech of Yericho, and he instructs Rachav to remand them to the custody of the authorities. Rachav, however, saw the Yad Hashem and saw that the will of Hashem is to realize the promise of Kibush Haaretz, that Klal Yisrael should conquer Eretz Yisrael, and she's able, through her cunning, to secret the Meraglim away from their would-be captors. There are several salient and fundamental distinctions between the two aforementioned episodes that are fairly clear. In Sefer Yoshua, the identity of the Meraglim is immediately uncovered. They didn't achieve their avowed goals. They barely escaped unscathed, but Baruch Hashem, they had the aid of Rachav. In the Meraglim episode of Parsha Shlach, this week's Parsha, they were eminently successful in their 40-day mission. They returned with a wealth of information, with enormous amount of data. The irony is, however, that the aborted mission was essentially executed by two anonymous Meraglim, while the Meraglim of Shlach were, in effect, 12 distinguished heads of Shvatim. In other words, the two Meraglim in Yeshua are not identified, and here we have Rosh Shifta Yisrael. The Meraglim of the Torah operated in the open for an extended period of 40 days. The Meraglim of Yeshua, as I mentioned earlier, and as the Navi describes, Cheresh, undercover. But the main distinction between them, namely the Meraglim in Shlach and the Meraglim in Yeshua, lies in the ultimate purpose, the telos of each group. The key phrase or word, really, that defines their mission in Shlach is the term Lasur Es Haaretz. In Sefer Yehoshua, the language is Lachpor Es Haaretz. These are two totally different verbs with different connotations. They are markedly different. In Yehoshua, the language of Lachpor, and the objective there is a military one designed to uncover the Achilles heel of those that live in Eretz Yisrael, thereby facilitating a strategic foray into the land, assuring its conquest. The Raglim of the Torah and Pasha Shlach were mandated in the language of the Ramban to paint an idyllic picture of Eretz Yisrael, which Hashem is Baruch had already testified to its goodness. But the idea was, Lisamcham, as the Ramban says, to gladden the hearts of those who would ultimately inhabit and live in Eretz Yisrael. And also the thrust of the Moshe Rabbeinu sending the Meraglim in Shlach was not so much to spy out the terrain and gain a military advantage, because then he could have sent professional career army scouts and not 12 princes, 12 heads of Shvatim. Clearly the intent was for them to be captivated and won over by the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, thereby creating an excitement and simcha of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Kedushin and Mem Aleph, also the other of the Kaddish Yisra'isha at Shirena, Shema Yireber, Dover Megune, Vinizganaba, Vater Omra, Vyahavta Lerach Kamocha. The connection between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is almost a kind of chasana, a kind of wedding. And the idea was to see the land, to become enamored of it, of its beauty, both physical and ruchniistic beauty. And as a result, to have a tremendous sense of simcha of being able to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the two missions, that of Shlach and that of Sefer Yehoshua, are really diametrically opposed. One is of a military nature, the one in Sefer Yehoshua, and that's embedded in the term Lachpor Es Haaretz. And the other is of an ethical, moral nature, Lisamchom, Le'edadom, Lachaskom. That's the mission of the Meraglim in Parsha Shlach, this week's Parsha. The Meraglim of Moshe, instead of returning with a glowing, favorable kind of report, rejected, and as the Ramban cites on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Vayim'asu bi'eretz chemda. What a tragedy. They despised the land, summarily, and indicated that it's not possible to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Ephes! Ramban writes, that was the chet. A positive report, Avol, with a qualification. Kiazom, the Arim Beturos, we are fortresses. The Elide Hanok, children of giants are living there. Amolok Yoshebe Ertanege, v'chulu v'chulu. So instead of strengthening their resolve and love for Eretz Yisrael, they succeeded, Rachman al-Litzlan, in forging panic and depression in their incitement against Eretz Yisrael. And I believe nuances of this attitude can be detected if you look carefully in the language of the Torah, in the tone of the text. The initial psukim reflected an upward kind of trajectory and a buoyancy. Vayalu vanegev. They ascended. The Torah describes a positive kind of approach when they toured the Eretz Yisrael. Vayalu vanegev, a bit later. Oloi na lev yarashnu osal. Let's ascend and conquer it. So that is, of course, very saturated with the spirit of Aliyah, going up. being successful. However, after that dismal report, there's a total change, a complete metamorphosis of tones from aliyah, ascendancy, to nefilah, to descent. An element of pessimism now clouds the atmosphere. Vishom ra'inu et ha-nefilim. Nefilim, of course, is the lashon of nefilah, a lashon of falling, of descending. V'lom Hashem bevi osanu lin pol b'cherev. Hashem is bringing us to fall by the sword. And b'midbar hazeh yiblu figreichem. In this desert, your body is going to fall. So this transformation from Lashon Aliyah to Lashon Nefilah is the quintessence of the tragedy of the Meraglim of the Torah, and is in stark contrast to the ascendancy, tone, and conquest that's very much embedded in the Meraglim of Sefer Yehoshua. The Gemara Masechet Saita is very much vexed by the following pasuk in Shlach. We were in our eyes as grasshoppers, and so we were perceived in their eyes. The obvious question is, how did they know how they were perceived by others? And the answer lies in a profound psyche of the human being. The transgression of the Meraglim is founded upon the loss of their self-esteem. A person's self-esteem is the most significant element in one's persona. All of us, our entire lives, are trying to nurture, are trying to cultivate a self-esteem, a sense of who am I, a sense of my chashivas, a sense of the fact that I have what to contribute, irrespective of my intellectual acuity, of my IQ quotient. Everyone has a tafkid. Everyone has what to accomplish. Someone who's wallowing in the mindset, when he loses his self-esteem, will subconsciously project and telegraph messages with his body, with his physiognomy, and anyone with a sharp antenna will automatically absorb and understand what their body language is all about. There's a pasuk in Mishle, Tesis called Tzidim Sochim, Kimayim aponim l'ponim, Kei nefesh ha'odam la'odam. As water reflects a face, so too, one physiognomy, in effect, is a kind of Rishus HaRabim, as HaGoyin Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, HaTzadik, the founder of the Muslim movement, used to say, a person's face is a Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, one has to constantly be besimcha, smiling. And so anyone else who's examining one's physiognomy, even without knowledge of Chochmas HaParzuf, is able to somehow pick up on these kinds of nuances. Perhaps the aforementioned distinctions that we drew between the two episodes of the Meraglim, both in Shlach and that of Yehoshua, is also reflected in a very sharp, discriminating distinction articulated by the Drash HaSaran. The Drash HaSaran has a fascinating comment. He's mavchin, he distinguishes between the Chel HaMeraglim, for which we were destined to wander 40 years in the Midbar, and the Chel HaEgel, for which we were given Slicha V'Kapara. Prima facie, at first glance, the Chel of the Egel, according to Midrashim, cited by Rashi, is far more heinous than the Chel HaMeraglim. Rashi speaks of Avodah Zarah, Gidarai Shvichas Domim. Chel HaMeraglim is identified with Lashon Hara. How does one then account for the gargantuan discrepancy in the punishments? Here, in the Meraglim, we unfortunately lost the Matan of Eretz Yisrael and were destined to wander in the Midbar for 40 years. And regarding the Chel HaEgel, there the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Vayomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. So the Ran has a beautiful chiddush, where he distinguishes between the varying and sundry slogans. Every movement needs a slogan. What was the slogan that was emblazoned in the Chet HaEgel? So the Torah tells us, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, Asher He'elucha V'Eretz Mitzrayim. In light of what we said earlier, the verb He'elucha is critical. These are your gods who took you out of Egypt. the language itself still bespeaks aliyah, a direction to Eretz Yisrael, a positive kind of force that was generating the movement. However, what is the slogan of the Meraglim? The very antithesis. What do they say? Nitna Rosh v'nashuva Mitzrayma. Let's appoint the leader and go back to Egypt. Their direction is a backward regression, a sloughing off of Hashem Yisbarach. In sharp contradistinction is the clear mantra of the Meraglim of Sefer Yehoshua, who accentuate the hashkocha of Hashem Yisbarach and his stewardship leading us to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not a facile acquisition. However, our ability to integrate and nurture a love for it is largely a function of our attitude towards it. Our connection to it should parallel that of a chosin for his kala. The Vilna Gaon, in his famous letter to his family, writes the following. People travel for a period of several years for monetary reasons. We know business people travel all over the world. He writes, they leave their wives and families and wander to and fro, hopefully with the Chazdei Hashem, with the kindness of Hashem Yisbarach. I, says the Goyin, thank God, am traveling to Eretz Yisrael, that all are desirous of seeing. Chemdas elyeinim v'tachteinim, the delight of all the heavenly entourage and all those who live here. Indeed, Eretz Yisrael is a land which is Eretz Chemda Teva Urechava, a land desirous, Teva, a wonderful land. Rechava, Eretz Hatzvi, it has expansive qualities. But this Tshuka of Eretz Yisrael has to be nurtured. Let us cultivate this love of Eretz Yisrael. Let's appreciate the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Let us yearn for it. Let us desire it with all of our hearts, clinging to it fervently, because Eretz Yisrael is lovely beyond all other lands. And this is the kind of approach that we have to have towards Eretz Yisrael. And undoubtedly, as Chazal say, that Eretz Asher, Eine Hashem Elokecha Bo, Meireshis Hashona, Ad Achir Shona, and certainly the ability to be Makir the Bari Elam, which is essentially what our goal is much easier in Eretz Yisrael. We're in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach, and therefore it's a Makom Kadosh. And even though it's possible to rise to the level of Tzidkus outside Eretz Yisrael as well, undoubtedly there are great Amoraim and Tanoim who were zocher to that, and great Tzaddikim throughout the generations, but Eretz Yisrael helps us feel a closest to Hashem. But in order that one should come to that, one has to open up one's eyes, open up one's ears, and Baruch Hashem, we will be able to develop that kind of love for Eretz Yisrael, and Be'ez Hashem is Barach, we'll be able, Lechol Mipirya, Lizboa Mituva, but as the Bach writes, the fruit of Eretz Yisrael is Yonek from the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Let's feel that Kedusha, let's cultivate it, let's nurture it, let's come closer to Hashem Yisbarach with the Mitzvah Tzuyas Baretz, and Be'ez Hashem will have unbelievable Siyata Dishmaya. Vani Kirvas Elokim Litoy, says David HaMelech in Tehillim, Ayin Gimel, Hashem's nearness is my ultimate good, and there's nothing more to search for in this world than closest to Hashem. The way to accomplish that is through Torah and Mitzvahs, but undoubtedly Eretz Yisrael is the means to that end. Let us demonstrate the love that we have for Hashem Yisbarach by loving Eretz Yisrael, by appreciating it, by coming closer and closer, by doing mitzvahs in the most profound kind of way. And thereby will be zeichet to siyata d'shmaya, the netzach netzachim, amen v'amen.